baby, join in the fun. Now the show has begun.
Yes, Dick Bentley and Jimmy Edwards will be on hand for the next 30 minutes with June Whitfield, Wallace Eaton, and the Keynotes, all inviting you to... It's Christmas night. Of all nights in the year, the night when the word family has most meaning.
So let's pass the next half hour seeing how a typical English family spends a typical Christmas night. A family by the name of Glum.
Oh, Ron. I think this time of night is the nicest part of Christmas Day. I'm so glad we left that rowdy crowd in the other room and came in here on our own. So peaceful and cosy in the firelight. Would you like to pull my cracker, beloved?
Ah, eh?
Well, I've taken the bang out.
Now, eh?
Oh, well, all right then. I'll just open the cracker from the side. Look, this time I'll take the paper hat and you have the joke. Here you are.
Tar, eh?
Well, go on now. Read it out and make me laugh.
All right, eh? It says, Q, how do you get down from an elephant?
I don't know. How do you get down from an elephant?
It says, A, you don't get down from an elephant, you get down from a duck made in Japan.
Down from a... Oh, I see. The made in Japan isn't part of the joke, Ron. Oh, I see the joke. You get down from a duck. See?
No, eh?
Down, Ron, down.
I'm not touching you, eh?
The two senses of down. Down like in the sense of, well, like baby feathers. And down like not up.
Not up where, eh?
Not up anywhere, beloved.
Not up anywhere.
Oh, do you understand, Ron?
I think so, eh? Down like not up. Well, that's, well, it's like breakfast time when Mum says, will you be down? I say, no, I'm not up.
Well, yes, I suppose, yes, that's right in a way.
Yes, in a way.
Well, it's not quite why the joke's so funny, Ron. Look, let me explain a bit more.
No, don't bother it now. I don't think I like Japanese jokes.
Aren't you in a jokey mood?
No, eh?
Well, then what are you in the mood for? Oh, Ron, there's no need to blow kisses, beloved. We're all alone.
I wasn't blowing kisses. I've got bits of turkey stuck in my teeth.
Oh, Ron,
yes.
Oh, you're not still gnawing at that turkey leg. Oh, why are you so restive tonight?
I don't know. I think it's these slippers you gave me for Christmas. They hurt me.
Oh, hurt you? Oh, dear. But I made certain they were your size. Are you sure you haven't got the bunnies tucked in the instep?
No, eh? Look.
Well, then why should they... Oh, Ron, you're wearing them on the wrong feet.
The wrong feet?
Yes.
Well, there's nothing I can do about that. These are the only feet I've got.
Oh, Ron. Oh, go on, take them off. Let your toes wiggle till the feeling comes back.
Righto, eh? Eh?
Yes, Ron?
The feeling's come back.
I didn't mean that feeling.
Go on, eh? Just a kiss.
No, Ron, no, not now. No, well, no, no, not with your big toe all exposed.
Quick, eh? Before they come in.
Hello. I'm a dreaming of a tight Christmas.
All right, you two, you've been on your tod long enough. In here, everybody, come on through here, all the lot of you. No use you two looking down in the mouth and disappointed. We're going to make a party of it, now. Ah, then, you know all my guests, I think, don't you? My good friends who've come round to help me drink up my Christmas presents. First of all, there's Ted here from the pub.
Hello, Runt, what do you know?
I know how to get up from a duck.
Down from an elephant, beloved.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, what that's all about, we won't even hazard a conjecture. Now, who else have we got here? Mr. Johnston from next door but one.
Please let me go home, Mr. Glamour. I only came to borrow a bit of Ollie for the pudding. It was 10 o'clock this morning. What will she say?
I won't hear of it, Mr. Johnston. I don't know what she'll say, but I won't hear of it.
Ollie.
Nobody leaves my hearth and board till the rosy fingers of dawn touch yonder neighbouring clothesline.
Oh, good lady.
Now, who's the last but not the least? Who but none other than Ted's lovely and talented barmaid, Rosie.
Oh, you
gorgeous great lump, you. How I yearn to share the same hula hoop with you.
Oh, Mr. Glum, you must give over.
Mr. Glum, may I ask, where is Mrs. Glum?
Oh, I've got an answer for that, my dear beloved. Why, this, she's non-compost mental. Halfway through the knees up, she was taken suddenly drunk. She's now upstairs in bed, as the saying goes, sleeping it off.
Dear, poor thing.
Ah, it's a lovely woman. Rosie, come sit over here within grappling distance.
Oh, Mr. Glum, really?
It's the penalty of being a barmaid, Rosie. As the poet has it, men always make passes at girls who fill glasses. Ah, well, now we're all cozy and comfy. What about some nice party games, eh?
Yes.
Any suggestions?
Oh, yes, well, now, what's that game where you write something on a piece of paper and fold it carefully and then hand it to the person next to you?
Oh, not that one, Eth. Uncle Charlie got 14 days for doing that.
Not betting slips, beloved. It's, consequences.
Oh, no, not that. It's too early to die. That's too eyebrow. Is there something we can all have a bit of a lark about, eh?
Look, if you really want to get the party going again, how about playing sardines?
No, that's a bit too lively. Aye. Time you start throwing them tins at each other, what with oil, running down the wall, painting all the stink.
That year, I think you've got a different version of the game, ain't you?
Well, that's how we played it at Uncle Charlie's coming out party.
Oh,
we just all went in the kitchen and chucked them at each other.
Oh,
what's your way, then?
Well, look, it's a sort of a variation, like, of hide and seek. You switch all the lights out.
We'll play that. Come on, Rosie.
No, just a minute. Let me tell you the rules first. You switch the lights out, yeah? Somebody hides and the rest look. Whoever finds the hider, don't say nothing. He gets in the hiding place with him or her and keeps quiet.
Ah, that's what I call a game.
Yes.
That's even a better version than chucking the tins at each other. Now, who's going to hide?
I should be getting home, my good lady.
Do stop and enjoy yourself. It's Christmas.
Yes, but
you're a long time dead.
Yes, but
from the look of you. I vote that Rosie be the hider.
Me?
Yes, what better hider? Sweet as apple, sahaha hider.
Oh, but Mr. Glum, I won't know where to hide.
Hide anywhere you like. The cupboard under the stairs. I'll wait for me there. Right, when I switch the lights out, Rosie, you go and hide yourself. I'm switching the lights off now. Ah, off you go. Just a foretaste of pleasures to come. Out you go. Cupboard under the stairs, Rosie. Now give her a moment or two and then we searchers will disperse throughout the mansion.
It's ever so dark.
Well, no need to be scared, Ron.
I'm not scared, Dad. I've got my finger twined round Eth's.
But I'm over here, Ron.
Yeah. Oh. Then what's this? Hello. It's that turkey leg.
Now, let's have a bit of a system for this seeking. Ted?
Ah, yes, I'm here.
You and Mr. Johnson split the upstairs between you.
Ron,
you and Eth each take a part of the garden.
Oh, yes.
And me, I'll go anywhere I... I might go to the cupboard under the stairs for argument's sake.
Now, we'd better give Rosie a couple of minutes to stow herself in a corner.
That's true, Ted. She is of a shape that does not easily stow in a corner. 2 minutes, then. Ron, wind up the gramophone and shove on a record. I see if I can find one what's got some real party choruses on it now. What's this one sound like?
If you knew Susie like I know Susie, oh, 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 I linger. There's none so classy as this fair lassie.
Oh!
Holy Moses, what a chassis. We went riding, she didn't know. From the country, I'm the one that had to walk it. You knew Susie like I know Susie. Oh, oh, what a girl. Pack up all my care and woe. Here I go singing low. Bye bye, Blackbird. Where somebody waits for me, sure the sweet, so is she. Bye bye, Blackbird. No one here can love or understand me.
All the hard luck stories they all hand me.
Make my bed, light the light. I'll arrive late tonight. Blackbird, bye bye.
I think Rosie should have tucked herself away somewhere by now, so let's all proceed to our various searching areas. Now, Ron, no, put any lights on. Find your way out to the back door by groping along the wall.
Righto, Dad. Off I go.
That's him out of the way. Now then, here, you, front garden.
Oh, righto. Oh, lucky me, I've got the street lamp.
Well, don't hurry back. Well, that just leaves you, Ted, and Mr. Johnson.
That's right.
I should ought to go home, Mr. Plummer. I really should ought to. I should ought. Only been 2 minutes, I said to her, nearly 12 hours ago, that was. Can't I take my bit of Ollie and go?
You know, Johnson, I can't understand the likes of you. You're just not convivial.
Well, I was.
If you're not going to enter into the Christmas spirit, then you better leave.
But that's what I wanted.
Where'd you put your bit of Ollie?
Rosie took it. She's pinned it on her bombazine.
Oh. Wasn't very clever, was it? What happens when she sits down?
No, that's a bombazine dress, Mr. Glump. She's got it pinned on the front of her body.
Well, in that case, Johnson, you'll have to wait now until she's been discovered.
That's right.
Messing up the game, mind. So upstairs, both of you.
Right, now you come on, Mr. Johnson. We'll find a cool place.
Now, don't go blundering into Mrs. Glump's bedroom. Remember the old saying, let sleeping dogs lie? Well, that's got all of them safely out of the way at last. And now I've got a spot of the old cupboard love. Let's grope me way out to the hall. Stand by, Rosie. I'll be loving you in hallways. Now, wait a minute. Very dark here. Where's the banisters? Ah, feel me way along. And here we are, the cupboard. You is my lily white dove fluttering there within?
Now, Dad, I'm sitting on the gas meter.
run! What the blaze is you doing in there? I told you to go out the back door.
I thought it was the back door, Dad. Dad, I don't like it in here. I'm frightened.
Frightened?
I keep imagining I can hear breathing next to my ear.
Breathing? Rosie!
You told me not to make a noise, Mr. Glum.
Bad, bad.
Now what's up?
I think there's a woman in here with me.
Of course there's a woman in there with you. That's Rosie.
Oh. Hello, Rosie.
Hello, Ron.
Hello.
Hello.
Do you come here often?
Now look here. Never mind exchanging the civil ties. You've mucked up everything. Now just you come out of there. Come on. Open this door.
I can't, Dad. It won't open.
Oh, no. Don't tell me this perishing door's stuck again. Let me pull it. Ah, it won't move. Ron, try a sharp blow from your side.
I know, Dad. No luck, Dad.
What I mean is it should be hit sharply from your side with something heavy and solid. Something really big and... Rosie.
Yes, Mr. Glum.
Remember when you did the Bumps of Daisy at the Town Hall dance? Remember how your first bump sent your partner clean through the no-jiving sign?
Yes.
Well, could you repeat that same rotating movement of your hips up against the door?
I'll try, Mr. Glum. Give me room, Ron.
Now, come on now. Swing that bass. Hands, knees, and... Oh, I felt that through the soles of my feet.
Now, what's happening?
Yeah, all the plaster started falling down off the ceiling.
Whatever's happening? There was a big thud and all the street lights suddenly flickered.
Yes, and that flaming door hasn't budged an inch. All right, then, put the lights on and I'll go and get my toolkit.
Yeah, what about our game of sardines?
Ted, my son is locked here in this cupboard under the stairs with your voluptuous barmaid.
Hey.
It ain't sardines we've got to worry about now. It's consequences.
Mr. Glummy, it's gone 2:30. Ron and that Rosie woman have been in there for 5 hours.
It's hopeless. I've used every tool in the kit, but that door won't shift.
Oh.
In fact, not a good this chisel is. Mrs. Glum's been using it on her corns, I think.
But it's been so quiet in there the last hour. Oh, what are they doing? Ron?
Excuse me, that's their corn. What is it, Ed?
What are you doing in there? What did you ask her to excuse you from?
Nothing, eh? Rosie was just nibbling my leg.
What?
It's his turkey leg. Well, I don't know. I've tried everything. We'll just have to leave them until we can get a carpenter.
And when will that be?
Well, what with the Christmas holidays, that'll be first thing Monday morning.
Oh,
Mr. Glum, you're not leaving my Ron jammed in a small cupboard with that peroxide barmaid till Monday morning?
Hey, we've got no alternative.
But, Mr. Glum... Can't you see how tongues all wag?
Yeah.
What do people say?
Well, if you're all that worried, I'll ring up the vicar and get him to marry them through the keyhole.
Oh,
and how are you?
How can you? Ron! Ron, come out of there. Come out this minute.
Hey, it's no good beating on there with your tiny fists. They're in there, they're in. And that's that.
Oh, no, it isn't that. With all due respects, Mr. Glum, I need Rosie for opening time.
I don't, Mr. Glum. I'd like my bit of olive.
Mr. Glum, I'm sorry. I demand my staff, but I'll never be able to cope with the lunchtime rush hour without you.
And my olive. I want the olive. Oh, I must have the olive.
Will you shut up with your olive? Nothing all day for hours and hours, but olive, olive, olive. Now, let's not get aerated. There's only one other way we may be able to make an escape route for them.
No, not dynamite, Mr. Glum, not anything like that.
I am not envisaging taking that drastic course.
Oh, thank goodness.
There will be no blast in here. Now then, not till we've tried tackling this from another direction. Now look, the cupboard lies under the stairs, right?
Yes.
It follows, therefore, as they say, that if we go to the top of the stairs, we should be directly above them, nearly.
Yeah.
So by prizing up a couple of stairs near the top, we should be able to lower down a rope and pull them up.
Oh, Oh, that's brilliant, Mr. Glamour.
Thank you. I am not without a certain lack of initiative.
Yes.
Now then, Ted, let's get to action stations. Yeah. Hop in the kitchen and bring out the clothesline. All right. Johnson, you come upstairs and we'll start leaving up them two treads.
All right,
I suppose so. We better come on.
Oh, Ron. Ron, beloved.
Hello, Ed. I'm in the cupboard.
Yes, I know, sweetheart. Ron, can she hear me?
No, Ed. She's laid down and gone to sleep.
Oh, well, don't let's wake her then. Let's talk softly.
All right. I'll sit near the keyhole.
Ron, you have kept away from her, haven't you?
I have, eh? I haven't been anywhere near...
Whoa!
Oh, what's the matter, Ron?
Hurt myself.
How?
This thing I'm sitting on got a bit of holly sticking up.
That's the two stairs leaving right off.
Yeah.
Ted,
yeah.
Shove the torch down the hole.
There we are. Yeah.
Ron, that you down there?
Who's that up there saying that you down there?
It's us, Ron. Your father is lowering a rope down. Tie it round you securely.
Righto, eh?
Round your waist, not your neck.
I don't know, though.
Well, I'm desperate. All right, now listen, Ron. Now get the rope securely around you. Now I'm grasping the other end of the rope, and we're going to pull upward.
Yes, Dad.
Right. Now stand by, Mr. Johnson. Are we ready?
Yes, Dad.
Right. Pull!
Don't keep on at me, Dad. It was an accident.
Accident? When I said pull, I meant me to pull, not you. Oh, that sudden horrible plunge through inky blackness. Thank goodness I broke my fall on something soft.
Oh,
you'll be all right, Rosie gal.
Mr. Glum, what do we do now? The three of you are down there.
Start again. Here, catch the rope. I'll chuck it up. Right, got it?
All right.
Now, let me hitch it round, Ron, and you pull with all your might. Here, Ron, slip it under your armpits. Yeah. Now then, all right. Up there. Pull away.
Right.
Oh, Dad.
Easy, Daddy.
I'm going up. I'm going up. Oh, look, everybody, Peter Pan.
Oh, Ron, mind your nose on the edge of the stair hole. Oh, he's safe, Mr. Glum.
Here's a rope coming down.
Me next, Mr. Glum?
I suppose so, Rosie. Yes, we've got no alternative. Wait a minute.
Hey, Mr. Glum, what are you doing with that penknife?
Leave it to me. Ted!
Yeah.
F, the terrible thing has happened. On its way down, the rope frayed itself against the corner of the gas meter. Cut itself in two, look!
Well, now how are we going to get you two out?
You'll have to face the terrible truth, Ted. You can't.
Oh.
Rosie and me'll just be forced to stay here till the morning. You can get another rope first thing about 11:30.
But, Dad...
Don't worry yourselves about me and Rosie. I don't want to spoil your Christmas. Now, Ted, you take Ethel away with you. And Mr. Johnston...
No!
Ah, thank you. Your bit of Ollie coming up.
Oh, Happy New Year.
Good night, then.
Are they gone, Ron?
Yeah.
Now then, Ron, you go up to bed now. Don't forget to switch the light off.
Which light, Dad?
The one that's on.
Oh, that one. Good night, Dad.
Well, Rosie, my dear, alone at last. Just you, me, and the pulsating tick of the gas meter.
And so we leave our typical family at the end of their typical Christmas night. Ron is in bed. Eth and Ted are wending their way home. Mr. Johnson is standing outside his front door, crying quietly.
The master of the house is endeavouring to make himself as comfortable as one can in a small cupboard with a large barmaid. Above them yawns the gaping hole in the dark stairway.
The end of the story? Well, not quite. In the Glum bedroom, Mrs. Glum wakes up and notes the empty pillow beside her head. Where is he?
She gets out of bed and stumbles along the landing. Sleepily, eyes still half shut, she starts to descend the dark stairway.
Harry Rabinowitz and the BBC Review Orchestra bring our recorded show to a close. Those involved were Dick Bentley, Professor Jimmy Edwards and June Whitfield, encouraged by Wallace Eaton and the keynotes. Frank Muir and Dennis Norden wrote the script, and the program was produced by Charles Maxwell. We all invite you to tune in again next week, and...
take it home.